want her to be very beautiful, understand that at some point she might not be so beautiful. She just woke up, or she just came home after a day of work.
So many young couples who are getting divorced now. How has it affected you in your dating?
In order for me to be successful at dating, I have to be happy and positive, be loyal and reserved.
There's such a fear of the quote-unquote shirk crisis. There's such a fear of it that parents are worried my child is going to be this older single, and they push them into marriages that are not compatible.
When you're going to get bored of being alone, that's when you will get married. People feel lonely.
A person can feel even more lonely in a marriage. A person has to be able to just live and be with themselves.
Because I hate him so much, I can also love him so much. Because I love him so much, I can also hate him.
It's hopefully you never hate your spouse.
Act normal. What does act normal mean for a little kid?
Get help. Get help.
Apparently there's like more divorces now than shidduchim.
Then if somebody's 22, 23, 24, an altar idol, an altar bucher, and all of a sudden there's a shidduch crisis.
Right.
Relax.
Yeah.
Relax.
Right.
If you ever want a side hustle, you could become a coach. Number one tip for Shalom Bias, just don't talk to your spouse. Avoid them.
Never. You think I'm ready to get married?
Absolutely.
Just my taste. I'm not looking to change her. And if she shows up in a hoodie, then I'm okay with it.
Okay, so we have to find you a good shidduch.
Welcome to another episode of Positivity. Thank you so much for watching this, and thank you for being part of this community. I love to hear all your feedback, and I appreciate it. I want to remind you to please subscribe to our channel, like this episode, leave a comment, give us your feedback, because that truly keeps me going. Today we have a special guest. Her name is Mrs. Miriam Zeitlin. She is a dating coach and relationships coach, also a challah teacher, teaching Kalas right before they get married, the right thing to do and how to live a happy married life. You know, so someone, I'm going to jump right in because somebody wrote me an interesting message today, which I didn't know if I should agree or not agree. And I said, I'm going to ask it on the next podcast.
I can't wait to hear this.
So he said these words. He said, we teach men how to treat women. We treat girls what to expect from men.
Okay.
And it hit me. Like, I don't know if this is negative, positive, but what do you think about this comment?
What are you trying to say? That we're not teaching girls or women how to be themselves and act towards the men? Is that the question?
Possibly, yes.
That's very interesting because actually, when I teach my challah classes, I do teach the women how to behave And the big part of it is learning how to tap into your desire and learning how to express it. Mm-hmm. So maybe this guy only knows what he learned. I don't know if he's married or single, what he learned in his chassan shiurim.
Yeah.
But women, we actually do learn this. Mm-hmm. So that's a misinformation, actually.
Right. Okay. So it's kind of a little bit of a negative comment. I guess he felt that way, that he is here to serve her and they're here to learn what kind of expectations to get.
So I don't know that it's a negative comment. I just think it's misinformed, but also...
Well, there's some truth to that also, by the way. I mean, in a positive way, because we're a man is the mashpia and a woman is the makabel. So,
there we go. That's for sure true. Yeah.
But maybe just the way he said it was a little bit like resentful towards the situation. Or I don't judge, but you understand what I'm saying?
It's I like would wonder where that comment where came from.
Yeah.
But you said something, by the way. I just want to jump in and say, none of us are here to serve the other.
Right.
We're here to be in a relationship.
Right.
That's a whole nother, you know, discussion, but I'm not here to serve you. You're not here to serve me.
Right.
We're here to build each other up and be in a relationship together.
Well, usually on my podcast, I'm usually on the woman's side because by nature, Hashem created women to have like more that completeness and they're smarter and they're more intelligent. So I usually would stick up.
I like this guy.
Thank you. Oh, okay. So I usually stick up for the women, but because I did that in a few episodes, I've had the opposite. I've had a lot of guys tell me that, like, you don't have no idea how my woman, my wife, my ex-wife turned on me like crazy and she doesn't allow me to see kids. You know, now it became a little bit of an awareness. So my question is, do you think that women could get a little bit once they feel thrown out or once they feel breakup or they're not in that relationship anymore? Do you feel that they can go a little bit more extreme or is just 50-50?
100%. Women could get very emotional, and emotional women, beware.
Right.
Be careful.
Right.
But I believe it could go both ways. both of them. I don't like to use the term the men or the women. I would want to say people. People in general can be vindictive and then do things that are not the best. But it's not necessarily only women. It's not necessarily only men. We could all be like that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Wow. No, yeah. It was interesting to see because, you know, all these. Do you have an opinion on do you deal with such cases of women not allowing to see kids or men not allowing whatever these, or you don't, or you try to stay away?
So, no, I stay away from that. Baruch Hashem, that's not what I deal with because I'm a coach. So I deal with either people who are still dating,
yeah,
or people who are in relationships. Once it gets to the point of this relationship can't be salvaged and they're on the verge of divorce, yeah, or divorced already, that's beyond my scope. I mean, I do coach people who are divorced looking to get remarried, but if it's ugly and fighting, no, that's beyond me. I don't deal with that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what is the process of dating in your opinion? What creates a healthy date between a boy and a girl?
I love that question. So honestly, the biggest thing for me is authenticity. To me, this is huge because, and it doesn't have to, you know, people like to say, what should I do on the first day? What should I do on the third or the fifth or this? I don't believe in rules. Yeah. Do whatever you want when you want. But the main important thing is just be real.
Yeah.
And you know what I happen to really, really like about you?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I know, I'm flipping this onto you.
Thank you.
I really feel like you're very real and genuine.
Yeah.
I really feel that. And you know, unfortunately, we all hear about so many young couples who are getting divorced now.
Yeah.
And I actually wrote an article about this, and I think there's three big factors. Yeah. So the first one is not being authentic. And it could manifest itself in many different ways, either religiously, mm-hmm, or just hiding parts of yourself, being very surface level on who you are, not showing who, you know, the true you. This is not a good way to date.
Wow.
Not a good way to date.
Wow. Yeah. What's the second reason?
Oh, the second reason you want to get into?
Yeah.
Can I just add one more thing about being authentic?
Authentic, sure.
Everybody is at their best when they're real. And if you're not real, and you expect somebody to like you, they're not liking the real you. So why would you want to get into a relationship like that? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
And not only that, a person can only be fake for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Eventually it all crumbles. Eventually the real you comes out. So why get yourself into such a situation?
You're 100% right. And I'm witness to that because when I entered Shaduchim, which was 8 years ago already, I'm 26
now.
Oh, wow,
8 years.
But I can also remember, as at that time I was still learning in New Square. I was considering learning in New Square. And I was considering taking this a very frum family and a very frum girl, entirely not who I was. And Hashem put up these obstacles and flat tires on the way so that I didn't end up getting married over there. And then I ended up going to Israel and having the best time of my life and building a business and whatever. And now for the first time, I feel like, okay, I can see myself ready. I can see myself getting ready. I don't feel desperate. I really love my life, but I can see myself ready getting married. And like you said, I feel like I'm a lot more real because I see what I was then. I see what I'm now. And I understand and I know for sure that I will change. And I will grow and I will become better.
What do you mean by change? Like in what way?
Change in that I believe that everything that I think and believe now can possibly, will grow. I heard this good quote, I love it. We don't change, we grow. People are so afraid of change. You don't really change, you grow. You're a neshama. That neshama stays the same. But it's...
Well, hopefully you're growing because a person, exactly, like you said, a person never stays the same. They're either going up or down. So
yeah,
with Hashem's help, hopefully you're growing, yeah.
Exactly. Nobody wants to just settle, you know. Of course, one or... So I agree with you 100%. Being authentic and real is the key to anything, and that goes even for like business people or just figuring out your life, a connection between you and Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the
second
thing?
How do you feel like it impacted your dating? Because you're genuine, you're real. I could see it on you, and I've been following you. I follow your podcast, and
thank you.
You're as genuine as they get. So how? I'm sorry, I'm flipping this on you, but
thank you.
How has it affected you in your dating?
So one of the things that I came to notice very early on is that in order for me to be successful at dating, and I wrote this note at my bed one day, which said three things have to happen. I have to be happy and positive, but from a genuine place, not just the act, which I do, which I can do very well.
Not you know, just like putting for, that smile
yeah,
on your
go,
face.
Exactly. And, yeah. I can go for months like that. Yeah. Yeah, I've had many times that I feel depressed inside and I still put on a show. And I don't consider that fake. I consider it my job. I'm here to inspire other people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at the same time, I'll try to also be real. So it's you know, by saying how I really feel, you know, and sometimes different platforms. On status, I'll post a happy good morning, and on LinkedIn, I'll write the depth of the situation. So it's
Love your LinkedIn authenticity, the realness. You. I love it, just
Thank
by the way.
So I wrote a note of three things. Thank you. I wrote a note of three things. I wrote, be happy and positive, be loyal and reserved, and be consistent, something like as in be grounded, you know. So
those are three
great
tips.
Be disciplined
actually.
Was the word, discipline. Yeah. So I chose the hardest challenges in my life to where I can be disciplined. Started intermittent fasting, another few things. I got off social media. A few different
things.
You got
on social media. When did that happen?
Yeah. No, I have somebody posting it, but I still check all my messages through someone, but I'm not actually on it.
Brilliant.
Because that comes back to what I said, the second thing, which was to be loyal and reserved, which is to, I felt like if I'm dating or if I'm going to get married, I have to be loyal and reserved, which is loyal and reserved to myself and loyal and reserved to somebody else. Nobody wants somebody that, wow, you belong to the entire world, right? So that means putting in place healthy boundaries. So at that point, I made myself a second phone.
Wow.
I logged myself out of social media. I did a lot of things different so that my energy is completely protected and I'm loyal and reserved to myself. So that if I go out on a date and a girl's like, yeah, so how do you, not that this is a question that has to come up, but I believe it will. How do you, you know, you're pretty popular and famous and successful, but how do you, what's your boundaries? And then I say, yeah, I know that that's the image out there, but from the inside, I feel like I live the most happy, calm life ever.
Wow, I want to tell you something. I still have a lot more to say, but if we end right now and everybody just gets this tidbit, this nugget that you just gave, we can end right here. This is brilliant and amazing. And I wish I could do that in my own life. I have to be honest. Wow.
Thank you.
I strive to do that. I struggle with, you know, being on social media, going, you know, because I also post a lot. I don't have anybody, you know, managing my social media for me. It's all me.
Yeah.
Wow. I give you credit for that. That's great. Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. And yeah, and it's a different life for me. I love this version of me because it basically detaches me from all the outer approval and the outer noise. And it gives me time to be to myself, for myself. Right now, the only thing that I'm answering is WhatsApp because it's a combination of business.
Okay, that's different.
And
But it also
has its limits. You know, I don't use it much on the weekends. I put it away at night. I don't use it in the morning, the first 2-3 hours of the day. So it's very healthy boundaries. And I think everybody should have them, especially I think where we live in a world where we're addicted to our phones.
Oh, yeah.
And we're hiding so much away.
Big time. By the way, I want to just pause a second. You said something very smart. You said that you're seeking validation or you were seeking validation. That's a symptom of not being authentic, by the way.
Or good enough, yeah.
Right, because you don't feel good enough. You are trying to always, what are people going to say about me? How many likes am I getting? Who's validating me? And therefore, you're not being genuine, not being real. So it's a whole cycle.
Yeah.
So it's all part of it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I can clearly say I was in that trap. I used to use social media for two main reasons. The validation. I needed people to tell me how great I am. And the second one was the distraction. So I would spend hours and hours a day so that I don't have to think or feel anything in my life. I can just be distracted.
Right.
So already a while ago, a year ago already, I deleted all these apps from my phone. So I kept it very separate.
I'm jealous of you, I gotta say. I'm really jealous. Yeah. I mean, I could do it myself. It's just, I'm telling everybody that this is a struggle of mine. I'm being completely real.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow.
Which leads me to my next point of, unfortunately, why I think a lot of people are getting divorced so young. because people are afraid to embrace and speak about their struggles. People are afraid. Yeah. And you know what? None of us are perfect. So I know that you have a lot of followers and a lot of listeners, and a lot of people are going to hear this podcast, and I'll be the first to admit, I struggle a lot. And sometimes I post about it. I've struggled with anxiety. I've struggled with depression. I've struggled with feeling inadequate. I've struggled with all of that. But you know what? I speak about it.
Yeah.
People in dating think that they have to project a perfect image.
It's Amazon. You can. Oh, that's fine.
Oh yeah, everybody. That's the bell ringing. Yeah. Amazon. Too many packages. Okay.
That's good.
So people think they have to project this perfect image to the world and to their date.
Yeah.
But how's that helping?
Yep.
You're gonna get married. The person that you're married will come to realize.
Yeah.
And a lot of people. And parents do this also, and I feel bad saying this, but sometimes I do blame parents because they think like, okay, my child, and we're not talking necessarily about mild forms of mental illness or addiction even,
right.
Addiction also. More severe and extreme cases where people are just hiding it, and then the person
wow.
gets married, and now what? I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. Wow.
So this drives me crazy because okay. none of us are perfect. We all struggle. So wouldn't you rather marry somebody who can handle it?
Right.
Who can be supportive? And
right. So one and two are pretty similar, right? One is
they
being
are,
real and
yeah.
two is being, talk about your deep struggles. I love that.
Yeah. So the way I see the difference is being real is like this. Sometimes you could be dating somebody that you really like.
Yeah.
And let's say, I'm just trying to give a silly example. Let's say the person that you're dating is very into, let's say, skiing or sports. And you all of a sudden pretend that you're into sports, you're into skiing, you're into rock climbing, you're into politics even.
Yeah, you're going
to... And you couldn't care less about it.
Right. You're going to have a very big problem.
Right. You're pretending to be somebody that you're not.
Right.
That's being genuine and authentic. The difference is between hiding parts of yourself of, let's say, struggles is different because
yeah.
it's not that you're not being authentic, you're just not sharing deeper parts of yourself and you think it's not going to come out when you're
right.
married.
Right. Ah, okay. So that's being real. And the second thing is like not hiding stuff that then comes out. And you know, that's an overloaded one because
it's a lot. I know it is.
I know my audience very well. And I know people very well. And I know myself very well. And I know how long it took me to open up. Like till I was 24, I was living legit in a bubble. Like everything, my life, while it felt very alive, I clearly understood that I was living a lie. I was hiding. I was hiding behind food. I was hiding behind a lot of movies or stuff, just this constant distraction. I was working a job, like I was so distracted and so not living a real life. So it's very, very hard for somebody that's getting married to really put themselves like out there. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you. Nobody said it was
easy. Most of them
easy.
Don't even know how to unlock it. And I spoke with this with Mrs. Jackie Glaser. She was saying like on a subconscious level, you got to tap in. Like
exactly.
It's so deep. What's the third thing that to prevent divorces?
So the third thing is, and this is going to be a little controversial because in shidduch dating, and especially in the Hasidish world, not that I'm knocking Hasidish
yeah.
world at all, but it's even more extreme like that, that there's so many rules. You could only meet a certain amount of times.
Yeah.
You only talk about this, only talk about that. And then, and there's such a fear of the quote-unquote shidduch crisis. There's such a fear of it that parents are worried my child is going to be this older single, and they push them into marriages that are not compatible.
Right. Yep.
So all these three things are really interrelated.
Yeah,
they're interrelated. But so let me tell you a little secret. I know because I coach a lot of these people who are getting into relationships, and they're like, "What just happened? Why didn't anybody tell me this could happen?"
You know what the worst part is? The worst part is getting into a relationship and then feeling kind of lost. Like, what did I just get into? Where do I go from here?
Right.
Rather than developing the awareness beforehand, like, get clear on what you want, on who you are, on what's real to you
right.
before getting into a relationship.
Right. And listen, you openly speak about you know, that you go to therapy. And that's great because it shouldn't be so taboo in our community to get help.
Yeah.
Get help. If you're struggling with something, it's okay to seek out the help.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm grateful for the therapy that I did, the coaching. I'm still in therapy. It really helped me. It's kind of also I came to notice that, yeah, I accept the fact that I am a celebrity and I'm famous and I have a lot on my plate going on. To handle everything myself, like I used to think I should do,
is
not fair. It's huge.
Yeah.
So I should get the right help and support. And, you know, when the uncomfortable feeling becomes not to do stuff, that's when you know you changed something in your life, you know? Because it's sometimes uncomfortable to do the right thing, but it's also sometimes uncomfortable to do the wrong thing or to stay in one place.
Right.
So you have to switch that because, you know, I heard Tony Robbins said this, there's two drivers in life, pain and pleasure. So he said like Donald
Trump. They're really connected.
Yeah, they are, of course.
Yeah.
So he's saying Donald Trump has a bigger fear of losing than he has a pleasure of winning. So his driver in life is the pain of, and you know, Rabbi Manas Friedman told me the same thing. When you're going to get bored of being alone, that's when you will get married. Before that, as long as you're comfortable, you're probably not. So it's very interesting how sometimes a negative will push us into the right thing.
You interesting.
Know? Like for a while, I was like, literally, I was anxious to leave my home. Like I was just happy being home. Why do I need to go to Muncie, Brooklyn? I don't know what's going to happen. What's, you know? And then at a certain point, I was so miserable home that I didn't want to stay at home. So I said, no matter what's going to happen on the way, if something bad happens, I just want to get out. So sometimes there's that reverse thing.
I always say, the desire to get married has to be greater than the fear because everybody has everybody has a fear in their own way of getting married.
Yeah.
So the desire has to be greater. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Do you help people developing their feelings around getting into dating or relationships to begin with?
Yeah, absolutely, because I teach people how to share parts of themselves. That's a big, huge part. This is in my dating coaching. This is a huge part of what I teach. But people always come to me and like, how do I share? How do I communicate? What do I talk about? And I help them.
Right.
So let's say speaking about any sort of struggle that you have, there's a way to do it. You can bombard somebody and like basically dump it onto them and say, I'm struggling with depression. I have anxiety. And the person is going to run the other way. But if you talk about it with you know, in the sense of your feelings around it, how it impacts you, talk about it from a human point of view, the other person will be curious and listen, and you'll be surprised. People are willing to be supportive.
Right.
If you never talk about it, once you get married, it will come out and the other person will feel gypped and they'll feel like resentful that they didn't know about it.
Right.
But if you speak about it beforehand, you're giving them the opportunity to be there for you.
Right. I love what you just said because that's very important. And that's kind of the strategy that I started going on. Like when I date now or the next date I'm going on is going to be all about that. Like being very open and honest and how I feel about my journey. And she can be the same. And then let's see if we both want to deal with each other's problems. Because if we want to deal with each other's problems, then I'm sure we're going to want to deal with each other's benefits and beauties and the goods as
for
well.
Sure. But and if they don't want to deal with it, they're not the right person for
exactly.
you. But give them the opportunity. But again, don't just talk about facts. I always say, don't talk about facts, talk about feelings.
Right.
There's a big difference how you bring it up.
So a question that I also got today,
and
a question that I get very often from people, especially singles, but I also know that there's a problem for this in married couples as well. People feel lonely.
Oh boy.
So especially on the weekends, which is very common. People, whoever doesn't know this, the reason you're feeling lonely on the weekend is because you meet yourself again. You're basically, there's nothing to do.
There's no work, you know, there's nothing.
No work, you're not using a phone, you can't drive anywhere. You're sitting at home for 26 hours straight. Matzah Shabbos is the busiest time on the phone. Everybody's just rushing to the phone.
Exactly.
And until a minute
before. Best time
to
post, right?
Yeah, best time to post. So the question is, I have my ways of dealing with it, but I can also notice for myself a little bit of a struggle. It's also a little bit of a physical struggle for me because, like, I'm working all day, all week, and my mind is stimulated, and then the weekend comes and everything just shuts down. So it, like, kind of hits me. It's like stopping a moving train. I'm like,
I love that analogy.
So,
that's great.
Yeah, but my question to you is, on an emotional level, how do we get rid of that loneliness, or how do we deal with it? How do we sit with it? How do we work on that?
I love that you brought this up because it's, again, interconnected with all the things that I just said. So I want to tell you something. There's an irony in marriage. And people think that they're going to get married and they're going to feel less lonely. And very often the opposite happens. A person can feel even more lonely in a marriage. Mm-hmm. Why? Two reasons. First of all, unrealistic expectations of what the marriage and your spouse is going to bring to you.
Yeah.
So if you're expecting all of a sudden not to feel lonely, you're setting yourself up for failure and for a lot of disappointment.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, a person has to be able to just live and be with themselves.
Wow.
I always recommend to my clients, spend some time by yourself. Go to museums by yourself. Go to a coffee shop by yourself. Go to books or whatever you're interested in. Be able to be by yourself. Because
yeah.
your spouse can't
As
be everything for you.
As you're saying that, and I'm thinking to myself,
I see you smiling.
No, because I'm thinking to myself, like, I've done that, but then I'm like, wow, it's so difficult. It's still so difficult. It's still so difficult for me to pick myself up and go to a mall alone.
Really?
And it's also part of my nature. Again, some people love that, right? Solo travelers, they love going shopping alone, walking alone. I actually walk alone every day. I love that part, but going places alone is pretty...
Do you consider yourself an extrovert or an introvert?
I feel like I'm an introvert all the
really?
Way. Yeah.
So you enjoy the social
energy,
aspect?
Yeah. So there's introverted extroverts and there's extroverted introverts. I probably get my energy from the outside, but I love being indoors.
You need to unwind.
Always loved it.
That's interesting. So I want to just say something. Not everybody can go, like, I happen to be the type of person, I'm very social, but I love to do things myself. I love it. I go to bookstores myself. I go out to eat by myself. I don't care. I do everything by myself. But I'm not saying that marriage is not going to give you that companionship. It can and it should.
I have this thing. I think you're going to love it. I heard it from someone. He said that most of the times the expectations that we have about something is a one-sided expectation. And that's very not real, because we know Hashem created the world. There is night and day, dark and black and white, summer and winter. When you're expecting to have a spouse that's going to be always perfect and always happy and always in the mood for you and always ready and available and never make any mistake,
exactly.
He says, you're not in alignment with Hashem, with the universe. You're not expecting something that's even possible. What's real acceptance? Accepting that person, you want her to be very beautiful, understand that at some point she might not be so beautiful. She just woke up. Or she just came home after a day of work.
Yeah.
You want her to be extremely understanding. Understand that a very smart person will also understand when you did a mistake. Because they're not stupid. They're not just going to follow. So whatever you want from her,
it's not that,
going
that they're
to
not going to pretend. They're
exactly.
not pretending.
If they're going to be a very good chef, that also means that they might get very exhausted from cooking. So every third night, they might not want to make you dinner.
I love that.
That's real. That's and the same thing goes for business. You're expecting a business. Don't expect the business to just go very well. Everything, every day, everything works out and you make money every day and you enjoy it every day. No, you're opening a business. There are struggles. You have to pay bills. You have to pay employees.
Yeah.
So he says expecting. It starts with the expectation. The expectation has to be two sides. So in the marriage, expect and wait for that struggle, because it's going to happen. It has to. And that also answers the question to so many people that ask, why do we struggle? Why did Hashem create these things? Why is there a winter and why is it dark sometimes? Why does it get dark at night? Or why do I feel depressed? It's very simple, because whatever you're feeling on the lower part or the negative energy or whatever you want to call it is what you can feel on the opposite. The more depressed you'll be able to feel, the more enlightened you can feel. There has to always be a balance. But with marriage, this works perfectly.
That is brilliant. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Another great tidbit by Ellie. Thank you. That's great.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And talking about expectations, by the way, you know, nowadays we expect our spouse to be everything for us. And that's not possible. We want them to be our best friend. We want them to always be there for us in ways that's just not possible.
Exactly. My best friend is the person that I hate the most as well.
I mean, that's crazy. So funny. Does he know about that, by the way?
Yeah, of course. So it's pretty crazy, but that's the beauty of it. Because I hate him so much, I can also love him so much. Because I love him so much, I can also hate him. So it's beautiful.
So in marriage, hopefully you never hate your spouse. Right. But what happens is that, unfortunately, the people that we love the most and we're closest to, we end up hurting the most.
Automatically.
So it's not that we hate them, but we just end up hurting each other the most. And also, you mentioned before something about conflict. So I want to say something. People think that avoiding conflict is a sign of a healthy relationship, but it's not. There's always going to be conflict. You have to know how to have conflict, how to talk about things, and how to repair after the conflict. Those are important things. Avoiding conflict, not talking about issues, not talking about things, that's not healthy.
Right. By the way, I'm noticing the sun is coming out again. You see?
Oh, yeah. By the way, everybody, we're recording this by the eclipse. So if it got dark and light, like, you know.
If you're watching this in 2079, when the next one is happening.
Oh, is that when it's going to happen?
A full eclipse, yeah. So know that this, just take a snapshot of this moment.
Yeah, so the sun came out. Vayihi Ar, you see? Right.
One of the things that happened for people like you, that you help so many thousands of people on social media and in person, you get a sense of caring, you know, and you feel everything in your heart. Like you feel the pain of everybody. So I'm curious, what do you think now is the biggest pain of people? And if there was a magic wand where you can help people, everybody at once, what would that be?
So first of all, I can't even believe you said that because I am such an emotional person. You have no idea.
Wow.
I cry sometimes, like when I finished with my last Kala teaching her, I literally started crying.
Wow.
And when I went to her wedding, I went over to say Mazel Tov, I started crying. I made her cry, I made the mother cry, I make everybody cry. So you, I don't even know where that question came from, but it's very personal to me because I really honestly do feel my client's pain. What's the biggest pain point that I'm seeing nowadays? It's, and believe it or not, I'm not just trying to fit it into this podcast, but authenticity. When a person feels like they can't be real, that's painful. That's painful. So, and we're all living in the shadow of social media. We're all living in the shadow of trying to be somebody that we're not, trying to fit into society, trying to please our parents, please our friends, and then we're not being real.
Right.
To me, that's painful.
Wow. And I just want to touch very quickly where that comes from. People not being real comes from a simple place. I have a 7-year-old brother at home. This kid gets wild. Let's say if you tell him we're going to see him, like yesterday, we were going to see him and then my parents didn't go, he started losing it. Like, we have to go. No, they were just delayed and he started losing it. And then my first instinct is to tell him, Zashtel, Machan, the kid is 7. And I'm like, it's okay. Burn that energy. Burn that fuel. It's okay. Be yourself, Or it comes 10, 11 o'clock at night by the Shabbos meal, and this kid is all over the place.
Okay, but a 7-year-old, that's normal.
Right. But what do most parents do? Unfortunately, it starts by parents not being real. They shut the kid down.
Yeah.
Zashtel. And then if they cry, you give a patch. And if they cry, you say, don't cry. If you cry, you're going to get another one. So most of this authenticity that you're talking about, which is so important, I just want to explain this to everybody, gets shut down as a kid. Because you were told, or by Rebbe Haider, you tried making a joke or something, and he was ultra super serious. And maybe it was wrong or not, but the Rebbe was like, act normal. What does act normal mean for a little kid? There's no such a word. You know what I'm saying?
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
I advocate on not being sarcastic with kids. They don't get it.
They don't get
like
sarcasm.
True. Like they ask, can I have a lolly? Yeah, sure. Take the whole bag. They don't understand.
They'll just
that.
Take
they
the
just
whole
take
bag.
The whole bag. Like, so all of these things build up what you just described, that people can't be real. That comes from somebody not allowing them to be real. Most adults won't cry. Why? Because as a kid, it was shown as a sign of weakness. Vinish, don't cry. Why are you crying now? crying is super, super important to let out your emotions so that you could be real.
That's such a great point. I love it. Yeah. And it's interesting that you brought up the childhood, because I feel like you're reading my mind. How do I teach people to be authentic?
Oh.
I take my clients through a little exercise, and I tell them to think back to the time in their childhood, you know, because as a child, you're free. Yeah. You have no, like, how do I want to phrase this? You have no reservations about being real because you don't, you're not embarrassed. You have no shame yet. So go back to that moment in your childhood when you were yourself.
Right.
And try to reenact that in your life right now.
Wow.
But when you say it like that, like, hopefully nobody has a childhood where they were really squashed. And yeah. I think you were making a different point. But really, in our childhood, we're not embarrassed. We're so free. We act silly. We act funny. Right. We act as ourselves. We have no body image.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Right. Go back to that time, and that's how you should live your life right now.
Right. And an important exercise for that is to be playful as an adult.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one.
Just have fun. Just have a good time. Play in the grass. Play in the sun. Go out. But to the second question that I asked, if there is one type of healing or a message that you can tell everybody, you know, because you care for so many people, what would that be? If you can make one change, what would that change be?
Honestly, I said this before, get help. Get help. Because talking about, like you said, like Jackie was saying, Jackie is the expert about the subconscious and the inner work. She's the expert at that. But even if you don't know what it is that you need help with, if you're not feeling okay, seek out help. And it doesn't have to necessarily be therapy.
Yep.
It could be from a Rav, a Rebbetzin, a good friend, a coach. Talking things out and saying, you know what? I am not okay. I don't feel good.
Right.
Just talking about it helps.
Right.
So that's a big one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get it a little bit interesting. I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's like people that come here. I don't know if they're Hasidish or not Hasidish. And they're like, I want to start dating, but I have no idea what to do.
Oh, that's a loaded question.
How do you take somebody before their first date, and what are the questions you ask? What are the things that you teach them? And there are a lot of people listening to this, boys and girls, that have never been on a date. So if we can do a crash course on what you would tell somebody.
So I'm laughing at this because a lot of Shatranim and other coaches reach out to me all the time with a similar type of question. They're like, oh, my client or my you know, somebody's going out on their third date, fourth date. What should they speak about? And anybody who knows me will know that I say this all the time. I don't believe in following rules. I don't believe in saying you have to talk about this. You have to do this on this date or that date. What I do help my clients with is social skills. Knowing how to present yourself.
Yeah.
And that is communication skills, knowing how to have a back and forth conversation.
Yeah.
That's important. Some people don't know. They'll ask like one word answers, like closed questions. You're laughing at that because it happens.
I'm laughing because I want to say something. This is where there's a very popular word now going around on social media. It's called Riz.
Ooh, Riz, I never heard that.
Riz means your ability to speak to women or to the person of the other gender. And that's one important thing that I take. Like you said, there is a certain specific rules that will make a good date. So of course you have to be real, but you also have to know what you're doing. You also have to know what you're saying. You also have to know what type of questions you ask.
But do you really believe that? Because I found it with my own kids and I found it with my clients. That when you give a set of specific questions or a set of specific rules to follow, it causes more anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Teaching basic social skills and communication skills helps more than giving rules and list of questions and a list of you need to do this on date one and this on date two.
Correct. But that being said, I do think that there's a certain specific questions that you can ask even on a first date that will immediately draw the other person's attention.
Like what?
Like asking questions about their feelings versus asking questions about Like, you can ask a question like this. You can ask two questions. You can ask, how are you?
Right.
Or you can ask, how are you feeling today?
Right. Right.
That changes the world.
100%. So that what you're agreeing with me then.
Yeah.
So that's teaching communication skills,
yes,
and social skills.
It's 100%.
Teaching. I have clients who literally do not know how to have a conversation. They come and they,
right,
they, how many, instead of like saying something like, tell me about your family.
Yeah.
How many kids do you have in your family? Three. Boom. End of conversation.
Right. Right. So you're saying the first skill, to sum up what you're saying, the first skill to dating is communication skills.
Yes.
Like literally.
Yes. I'm a big believer in
and
that.
Do you find that that girls have that more in them already? They know better how to communicate with a boy, or when it comes to going out with
not
a guy?
Not necessarily.
They're
not
exactly. They know how to speak with girls, but...
And I find it pretty funny. I don't know, maybe because I'm such a talkative person, but I mean, not that I don't understand. I do understand the anxiety, but why should it be any different talking to a guy or talking to a woman?
On my last podcast with Jackie, we actually did a deep dive into why, you know, what is the blockage? What is that fear of not being good enough? What's that fear of going out with a girl, or what's the fear of getting married? And I'm happy to say that we went so deep that I internally healed that,
wow,
that part of me. So as of now, I have zero fear of rejection, not from going out with a girl, not from marrying a girl, or from a client, it should be. So I'm very happy that I worked on that. And that shows the importance of working with somebody,
yeah,
like her,
yeah,
or like you, a professional that can help people uncover.
Yeah, so like Jackie always says, I love Jackie, and I have tremendous respect for her. Like she always says, she does different work than most dating coaches. She's like, she calls herself, I think, the dating surgeon.
Yeah.
Because she really goes into the deeper work. She's a psychologist,
right,
by training.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
When she does the inner work, then she gives it over to regular dating coaches like me or other ones.
Wow.
Who will help them then take that healed person and help them,
wow,
continue on the journey of dating.
I'm glad that I did speak to her last week and now with you, because I do feel like it interconnects one with another. Because last week we did talk about the subconscious mind and diving very deep and the spiritual part of it. And now we're getting down to halacha lamaaseh.
The nitty-gritty.
Yeah, what's actually happening and what can somebody do to get on to their game.
Yes, I can't wait to hear that episode. But
yeah,
I want to just, and if I can, like, really, really speak very strongly about this, because
yeah,
everybody's talking about the shidduch crisis, but unfortunately we're seeing an uptick in too many early divorces. And I don't care what community you come from, Hasidish, Litvish, Yeshivish, modern,
yeah,
each person's journey is different. And each person needs a certain amount of time to feel comfortable, yeah, being ready to commit. And if they're not ready, parents, don't push. Don't push. Listen to your child. Listen, if you're a shatrin, listen to the person you're working with.
Right. Well.
You know, it's that's
right. So
this
why,
is the one message that I want.
Why aren't we talking about the divorce crisis? I mean, there's like, apparently there's like more divorces now than shidduchim, like literally, no?
It's
isn't
scary.
There like,
it's
on
scary.
Average, like 20 shidduchim per week. Now we're hearing 20 divorces a week. So, by the way, I'm guessing that it goes together, right? Like my Magachiri and Shiva used to say, like, you drink coffee all day and you go to the bathroom. I'm like, yeah, it works together. It's a cycle. The more divorces we have, the more shidduchim we also need afterwards. And a lot of people are getting married again the second time very quickly.
You think so?
Yes.
You think they're getting married so quickly again?
Not very quickly,
but
some
that people think, oh, we'll get married, it won't work out, or parents pushing, yeah, their children.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a frightening story the other day.
Okay.
Somebody told me of a couple that, right, they got married, and the mother came every day, you're looking at me and smiling, maybe you heard the story, with a shake for her son with medication in it.
Oh my God.
He was on medication, and the mother had to come give it. Obviously, the person he married didn't know about it.
Right.
This is what I'm talking about.
That's
how can you do that?
And it also probably goes together with the fact that they didn't date long enough, as you said.
But even in this case, they could have dated, because what happens is a person can be struggling with severe, severe mental illness.
Yeah.
And during the dating phase and the early part of marriage, they could be sort of in like a honeymoon stage, it's called.
Oh, so they don't.
So it covers it up, but eventually it comes out.
Yeah.
Be honest, be open.
Yeah. Right. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that I probably have to tell whoever I'm dating that I could become very quiet. As loud as I get, I can also become pretty quiet. And sometimes, yes, feel depressed or whatever it is.
I don't think you have to tell anybody. I think you told it to the world already.
Oh,
which, good. By the way, now you could see I really listened to your podcast. You said something the other day. I don't remember who you were talking to. Maybe Dr. Jack Cohn.
Oh, okay.
You were saying how on dates, you only speak 10% of the time.
Yes,
that you're quiet, right?
True.
You see, I do listen.
That's true.
I think that's a problem.
Maybe.
A conversation has to be balanced.
So usually a first date for me is about listening. And I think that girls very much appreciate that.
They appreciate because it, but they want to know about you also.
Yeah, but if you don't listen to them, it's rare that you will get a second date. Let's just put it that way. No matter how much you speak, if they were not listened to, if they don't feel listened to, it's impossible for them to build a connection.
That I agree with, but...
Because listening to them means you giving to them. You're giving your time. So that's why I listen. If I talk to them, I give them what? I give them knowledge?
You're sharing yourself.
I'm sharing. That's
but
not
why
giving.
Can't it be, even if it's 60-40, doesn't have to be exactly 50-50.
So,
but 90-10
yeah,
is not...
the reason I said 90-10 is because I trespass my own 10.
What
does that
mean?
Not really 10. It usually winds up being about 30 or 40. That's why I said I do 90-10.
Uh-huh.
But girls love to be listened to.
And that's for sure.
The only thing I ask guys is please meet somebody or get married to somebody that has a soothing voice.
That's pretty funny.
Right?
That is pretty funny. You know, yeah. you're laughing. I actually coach somebody. By the way, forgive me if I'm laughing at somebody else's expense, but I had a client once who was dating somebody and she really, really, it was actually he really liked her, but her voice got him nervous.
Yep. This says, I think, I can't remember if this says in the Gemara or in a Sefer, something about you should be attracted to your wife's voice, how important that is. Because the voice is a major, major key.
I never heard of that, but it makes sense. If somebody's voice is just going to grate on your nerves for till 120.
You have a great podcast voice, by
oh,
the way.
Thank you
I'm
so much.
I'm not going to go deeper than that, but you have a great voice for speaking.
I sometimes feel like I talk too loud.
Well, it's loud, but that's your blessing.
Uh-huh.
You have a very strong voice.
That's interesting, because sometimes,
cool.
You see, talking about being genuine and real, sometimes I try, like I practice, like with my kids, to talk quieter this, and it never works out. After 1 minute, I'm yelling again. So that's just me. I talk loud.
Yeah. Listen, the voice of the internet is, they say, Morgan Freeman. You know Morgan Freeman?
Oh, he has a great voice.
So, yeah, he's an African-American actor. He's very old. He's almost like 90. And he said
really?
That
he's
he
that
went,
old already?
Yeah, he said he went to school for his voice. So I actually adopted what he said. You'll hear my voice never raises. This voice that I'm speaking at is my regular voice, and therefore
So do you practice this?
Yes, of course. And I never get what do you call heiserig in English? Horse. Like my voice is always the same, even though I speak so much.
So what's the trick? Because I'll tell you.
I just speak low.
I try it so hard.
Still...
Okay, let me from now on. I'll tell you what happens, because when I give classes, like if I'm talking for 2-3 hours, my throat hurts after a while.
Yeah, well, it's not a problem because, this voice is great. It's very, very, like, it's hard to miss.
And how do we even get into this?
I don't know.
Okay. This is great.
you didn't answer my question.
I'm sorry, I keep avoiding something, right?
It's okay. Why are people not talking about the divorce crisis?
Oh, that's what you asked. I don't know why. And
I hope there's still shame around it, maybe?
I'm not sure. It could be that either it's they're still grappling with the quote-unquote shidduch crisis, that they're still dealing with that. I don't know. But the truth is, I wrote an article. Hopefully, it'll be published in one of the magazines pretty soon. exactly about this, that this has to be a conversation. There has to be more out into the open. Maybe people don't have solutions yet, and people don't like to just talk about problems if there's no solutions.
Wow.
I don't know why, but we're speaking about it now. So let's bring awareness to your millions of viewers.
Yeah, you know? Well, I will bring awareness. Well, one of the first podcasts that I had was with Rabbi Shlomo Ehrlich.
Oh, I know him. Okay.
And he does an amazing job. He is a therapist. He's a coach. He is one of the smartest people that I personally know.
He's excellent.
A close friend of mine. I met him last week. I have the honor to be like in his, that he even talks to me. I just feel like he speaks to everybody. But I'm saying, I feel honored being friends with this guy. And his opinion on this matter is that most divorces are avoidable. So he said that if we set up, like you said, if we set up a system in the beginning to be better at dating, we'll be a lot better at not needing to divorce.
That is so 1,000% true. Yeah. I couldn't have said it any better.
So we want to help people. The answer is date authentically. Make sure that you're ready. Be yourself. Be open with your feelings. And the third thing was...
Don't hide things. Hide. Oh, and parents, don't push your children into... Yeah.
So sure. If you do those things, we're not going to have a divorce problem. It's very simple.
There might still be some divorce because there are certain things that are unavoidable, but it will be a thousand times less.
My opinion on the reason why people say there's a shidduchim crisis is because I think they're victims.
In what way?
In the way that they can't find... Either they can't find a shidduch, or they're not ready, or their kid is not ready. Shidduchim crisis, it's the easiest way out.
Yeah.
Like all the people that don't have money now can say it's a bad economy.
Exactly.
Even though people are still doing great and most industries are thriving, the economy.
I think a problem is also that we expect people to be ready for marriage at such a young age. You know, people need time to, you know, the brain stops developing at what age, you know?
25.
There we go. So why are we pushing people into marriage at 18, 19, 20 when their brains are not even fully developed yet? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
And then if somebody's 22, 23, 24, an alter meidel, an alter bucher, and all of a sudden there's a shidduch crisis.
Right.
Relax. Yeah. Relax.
Right. 100%. So the fact that you're a coach means that you meet thousands of people. Not only that, you also have social media, so you're hearing back every single day. I'm sure you're getting messages, hearing back from people. So what's another common thing that you're seeing that you think people can work on or something that you're concerned about?
Yeah, good question. So honestly, I feel like comparing.
Oh, wow.
I spoke about this a little bit in a video the other day about how people not only are comparing their lives, but they're comparing their feelings.
Oh, my God.
Everybody reacts to things differently, okay? So we know we're not supposed to compare our spouses and we know we're not supposed to compare our lives, but how about not comparing our feelings?
Right.
Some people, like you were just saying, you know, some people are introverts, extroverts, you know, some people are quiet. Some people react very excitedly to things and some people are more subdued.
Right.
Stop comparing. Yeah. Stop comparing and stop going on social media and looking at other people's perfect lives because it's all fake.
Right. I love what you just said. So clear and to the point. And I want to add two things. Number one, like you said, the feeling. The only fear that we have in life is our feelings. We don't fear actual stuff.
Exactly.
Like even people that fear death, they fear the feeling of what's the feeling going to be like. So I feel like fearing a feeling is a big one. And so we have to learn to tap into our feelings and not fear it
And not validate. Try to resist it. I'm sure Jackie's by. I didn't see the episode yet with Jackie. I'm sure she spoke about that.
Yeah.
Don't resist it. Don't fight it. Let it be. Yeah.
Correct. And the second thing is, that you said comparing, I would also say expectations. It's probably what you were getting at, I think. Like you're saying, don't have that expectation. Because I heard this one thing can solve 90% of people's problems. And I heard it from Tony Robbins as well. He said that change your expectations for gratitude. Your expectation is what sets up all the failures in your life. When you have an expectation, especially in our community, expectation is by 18 or 19, you have to get engaged. Every year above that is a disappointment. You're ashamed, you're angry, and you're upset.
Can I clap? So exactly.
But when you have the expectation of going with globally, which the average age is 30 or 32, then you're totally okay. So, and I think I mentioned this on Jackie's podcast also, like expectations will set up the biggest failure in your life. And that goes for business, for your wife, whatever you're expecting from her. Don't expect anything. Stop expecting. Or expect the bad as well as you're expecting the good, the ups and the downs, expect it all. So I think right. What you said about comparing is super powerful.
That is great. And by the way, I want to tell you something. I mean, I really hope that you build up your business and you do great, but if you ever want a side hustle, you could become a coach because you're so brilliant with all this stuff.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you. So honestly, thank you. I'm focused on Weber Media, which is a social media marketing company. We're doing social media for companies like Klein's Naturals, Klein's Ice Cream, a lot of exciting, exciting companies. We're actually just now before Pesach taking on the last few companies that want to get campaigns going right after Pesach. And we're constantly hiring. If anybody's listening to this, most of our team is female.
What do you mean if anybody's listening to this? So, I hope more than one person will listen.
Yeah, you can always reach out to me. Usually my number is in the description if you're listening on YouTube. So you can reach out. We're always constantly hiring and looking for new talent because we're doing this for so many companies and they're seeing great results. You know, social media is everything. Social media brought us together. I'm sure you get many clients.
That's
from
how
social
I found
media.
You, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm glad to have a company that actually does that. But I feel like the podcast is totally a hobby. So there's no money over here. Maybe now I'm thinking of making membership and things just because it builds the connection. Like if people are paying a little bit of money and I can give them a little bit more content, like cut out things and stuff, then it's just, you know, it's...
They'll take it more seriously. When people pay for something, they take it more seriously.
Yeah, it's like getting a course and whatever. But coaching, I'm proud to say that I have literally every day a few people will call me for coaching around something, whether they want it in life, personal, how they're feeling, or business. Because now, I, Baruch Hashem, have a successful business. And I went through the struggles, which is beyond what I expected, of course.
You went through the growing pains, so now you can teach it to somebody else what to avoid.
Right, right. And especially with new ideas. People always call me, I have this and this idea. What should I do?
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah.
I know this has nothing to do with this podcast, but how do you balance, because this is your job, right? I'm asking for myself also and all other coaches, right? We have people reaching out to us for questions. I just have a quick question, but if you start answering everybody's quick questions, then when do you charge people? Like how do you deal with that with the business side?
Right. So for me, I can answer that my intention is clearly not to charge, at least yet. Right? Maybe eventually I'll make, maybe eventually I'll do something about it, but right now it's not. So everybody has my number and my WhatsApp and they can message me or call me anytime and I'm happy to answer that. And I have it every day.
But then how do you build a business then?
From coaching?
Oh, no, I'm talking about not only coaching, like if somebody starts asking you questions about what should I do this? How should I build my business? Right. This, that? Okay. Where's the line?
Yeah. So the answer is people, when they call me, they have tremendous respect. So they won't be asking difficult questions. They will ask their questions short and sweet, which means they usually come prepared with what they want to ask. And I also answer very, very short. And I just give them to the point, Baruch Hashem. I have that skill that my mind can go very fast.
I see that.
So I just answer their question. An average call doesn't take more than 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So I'm just happy to help. But for a coach, it is a challenge. It is a challenge. You know, you can say, how much are you answering for free? And, it is my job. So there is a challenge on that.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. You really do. I see that you could think on your feet. Like you're quick.
Thank God. That's pretty good. Or that can also be pretty bad. I mean,
In what way?
My head can plan a terrorist attack for this entire neighborhood within 1 second, literally. But it can also prepare the next 10 questions that I'm going to ask you in 1 second. And that's why none of these podcasts are ever prepared for. Because I just have, Baruch Hashem, a gift that my mind is very quick and it puts together. I mean, if you think about the mind, if you want to go deeper, I mean, just think about how every question is connected. And every question that I'm asking you, I'm trying to not overlap with all the other 20 podcasts that I have. And there's constantly so many things going on in the head while recording. So the brain is a marvelous place.
It really is. So I want to just say something. Do you see what you just did and what you're capable? What comes naturally to you is being able to take a conversation and keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people don't have that skill.
Right.
And that's what I teach.
Oh, right.
Going back to the social skill, we take it for granted because we're able to do that. It comes naturally to us. But for a lot of people, it does not come naturally. And we have to teach that skill.
So
you want to know what I do.
So how do we teach
it? Now I'm going to tell you all my secrets. No, I'm joking.
I'm paying for my audience.
Yeah, right? How do I teach it? Again, by teaching how a conversation has to be. Like I give the analogy of a tennis match. Can you imagine just playing tennis and you keep hitting the ball and the other person is not hitting it back? Then it's not tennis. It has to be back and forth. And I teach them, I do a lot of practice with my clients, like practice conversations. And a lot of times they get to, that's a big part of what
that's
I do.
Cool. Do you work mostly with guys or mostly with girls?
I would say, no, I'll tell you, it's not 50-50. I would say it's probably 65-70% women and 30% guys.
Is that because the guys are not going for help or?
Yeah, because the guys are afraid to admit it.
Wow.
And the guys really can use the help.
Wow.
Not in a bad way. I'm not saying that there's something
wrong
with
guys. Just experience. Go learn something that you don't know.
I used to,
you were saying something?
No.
I used to be very afraid of like hiring a coach because like, why do I need a coach? It's an ego problem. But then if you come to learn about it, every single athlete in the world, every celebrity has a coach that they're paying millions of dollars. So don't be afraid to go for help or for coaching, you know?
Yeah. Don't you know that every therapist has a therapist? For real.
Yeah.
Therapists have to have. I also bounce off ideas off other coaches. We all always do that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, this was truly inspiring. I have this question I also asked Jackie. I'm curious your opinion. What do you think determines readiness for the people that are asking themselves if they should start dating or not? What do you think determines readiness?
Oh, to start dating? I thought you were going to ask like readiness, like to get engaged.
Yeah.
It's a hard question to know, to answer, because for every person, it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to want marriage at that point. And not everybody does, you know, for girls, let's say coming back from seminary, not everybody wants to get married right away. Some people want to live life a little bit. You have to be prepared to share your life with somebody.
Yeah. And what do you think determines readiness to get engaged with somebody?
Oh, to get engaged. So that I was going to answer that.
Yeah.
You know, people think that it's like a light bulb moment and like, you know, you're going to know 100%.
Yeah.
Nobody knows 100% that they're ready to get engaged to somebody. If you feel comfortable with them, if you're able to open up and share and be vulnerable and be real, then you know that this is probably the right person for you. And there has to be some sort of attraction also. Yeah.
What's your number tip for Shulam Bias?
Oh, you're so funny. The number one tip for Shalom Bias, just don't talk to your spouse, avoid them, never spend time with them. No, I'm just joking. Number one tip is, like you said before, listening.
Oh, wow.
Listening. I know with myself, I'll tell you, when I feel like my husband is actually focusing.
Yeah, not with a phone,
not with the phone, not spacing out, thinking about his business. And I want to just say my husband's amazing at that. I'm not saying it in a bad way, God forbid, but to really be listened to and seen and heard, be present with the person. I think, honestly, that's the biggest Shalom Bias tip.
Do you think I'm ready to get married?
Absolutely. No. You saw how quick I answered that? No hesitation.
Thank you. So why do you think I still want to wait?
That's an interesting way you phrased that question.
Yeah, because I'm putting you on the spot.
No, not in the spot.
No, you have to figure out something for me.
Because you're saying why do you want to it? That means that you're feeling now. Is that just a coping mechanism of saying that because it's not happening, so you're like protecting yourself?
Yeah.
That's a great question. So why are you doing that?
I'll
Is
answer.
that like fear of rejection?
No, it's just kind of like waiting for the one and expecting a miracle.
Why do you think I'm like flabbergasted with this? You have so much going for you.
Okay.
And I'm speaking to you for, I don't know, about an hour now, right? And I could just sense how much you have to give to somebody. So why do you think you need a miracle more than anybody else? Every shidduch is a miracle.
I feel like my expectations are pretty high.
You mean like, what do you mean by expectations?
I want
like
it
you
to
have
be
a list of all these things that you want out of a wife?
Not that kind of cringy list, because
I
find it cringy, but yeah, I do have a vision of what I want. Yes, I do.
Like what? What's important?
Okay, so I'll go through my list. Number one is...
By the way, he's going through, if anybody have a shidduch for him, he's a good catch.
Thank you, yeah. thanks. The first thing for me is clean and organized.
Why? Because you're not, or because you are, and you need that?
Because I am. So no matter if we're going to live together, that's like number one. It's this or being like emotionally intelligent, like okay on my level. I don't need
to be a
smart person.
But those are two completely different things.
I know they're two different things, but I'm saying those to me top the list. Like those to me are the two main things. The one is a little bit more emotional, one is a little bit more physical, whatever.
So
like,
interesting. So I have a question to ask you. I'm just curious. Yeah. And by the way, guys, don't try this at home. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in testing your date. But if you were able to test the women that you're dating to see if they're neat and organized, how would you do that?
Okay, it's a very good question. The answer is simple. Are they wearing nail polish? To me, that's a big one. If their nails are not made, they're probably very simple. I think that an average girl should have their nails made.
Wow.
Is this controversial?
What? No, but that I would have never thought of it like that. So interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
I also think that, by the way, especially because if they're going out on a date. I'm not talking if somebody caught you without nails, but if you're going out on a date, just like I put on my Shabbat shoes for a date, now, I actually don't. I go out on a date in sweatpants, but that's me. That's my...
That's the authentic, genuine, real Ellie. I love it.
Exactly. But I haven't worn pants, by the way, in approximately a year.
I know. I've seen. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't even know why pants were made, by the way.
That's
pretty
funny.
And the same reason why I don't wear like a Bekecha, a Rekel, or a Biberhit. People don't get it. They think like I'm rebellious or something, like I'm against...
You mean like during the week or even Shabbos?
Even Shabbos. My shul is a shul where people daven there without bekeches. My shul is not a Hasidish.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying it's not Hasidish. People come there with white shirts. It's very... So I just love being comfortable. But I think what a girl wears and what a girl does determines if they're clean and organized. I mean, you can see it on a lot of things, by the way. You can see it on their face and on their makeup, on their teeth. There's a lot of things. Not that I'm judging, but yeah, just it's kind of the level where I'm at. And I always say this, and I feel like, in this sense, I feel like I deserve it because I know I take care of myself well. I know that I'm healthy. I know that I'm clean. I know that I eat well. I know that I work out. I exercise. I take care of my mind. I take care of my body. And so I kind of, you know, to say become the person before you meet the person, I became the person that I want to be. And the person that I want to attract.
So let me ask you something, because it's interesting, because we tell people, be real, be genuine. So what if somebody's real is dressing, like you say, in sweatpants, or for a woman, just like a slumpy skirt and a sweatshirt and not putting on her makeup? Yeah. If she would show up to a date like that, you would run the other way.
Right.
So how is that like fear?
Great question. The answer is that I don't need her. It's just my taste. I'm not looking to change her. So to answer your question, if she shows up in a hoodie, but her nails are made, then I'm okay with it. I'm not judging.
You heard it here first. Nails are important to him. Yeah.
That's because I like hoodies, and I like a girl in a hoodie. So
let me just ask you something though. Forget it. Forget about you for a minute. But in general, I'm flipping the script. I'm putting this on you. How do you think that people can respect the real parts of themselves, yet still show up to a date in a proper manner. Do you understand my question?
I think it's a healthy balance. I would say it's a healthy balance. Like, I won't show up in dirty sweatpants. I'll show up in my newest.
You make sure they're clean from the laundry.
The slim fit one, you know? So that, I think that answers your question. I'm being me, but I'm also being respectful of you.
You're showing the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
As real as it gets. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. This is fantastic. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, now we know that I'm ready.
I honestly think that you're ready. Like, why? I don't know why you would think that you're not ready. I think honestly that it's a fear of rejection on your part.
Yeah, I clearly understand that, but I feel like I'm getting over it. I feel like I'm kind of learning to not be that kind of person anymore.
Yeah, so
like
remember,
I noticed it. Yeah.
The desire to get married has to be greater than the fear or the, not necessarily fear only, but like you're comfortable in your life right now. Like, why not? You have a good life. You're building a business. You come, you go, you do what you want when you want. You don't want a wife to have to, you know, crimp that style.
Yeah.
So that's why the desire to get married has to be greater than everything else.
Right. Wow. Right. I agree. Well, I have a desire to get married.
Okay, so we have to find you a good shidduch. I like you. I really like you. I mean,
Thank you. This
was, you know, I've recorded podcasts with other people and it was fun, but this was like the
Thank
most
you.
Real that, yeah.
Thank
it,
you.
This
I
was
appreciate
great.
It. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Mrs. Miriam, for joining the podcast. It was truly probably one of the most exciting podcasts we had. Just the back and forth and sharing your knowledge and your personality and sharing your presence.
And you have a lot of knowledge as well, like I said. So
thank you. That's good. I think it comes from experience of life a lot, you know. So thank you all for joining. I want to ask you to please do me a favor. If you watch till here, please like and share and subscribe to the, if you're listening on YouTube or if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Music, wherever you're listening to this, please support our channel. It really helps me out a lot. And please leave a comment. Tell me what you think about this episode. What can we do next time? If you have an idea about a guest that we can bring up, I love hearing your feedback. Thank you so much.